Helping Hand, weekly feature, Fridays, HPR1 stations statewide, then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Every Friday afternoon, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you very much for joining us. This week, we are privileged to have a returning guest and returning guest organization learning about NAMI Hawaii. That's the National Alliance on Mental Illness Hawaii. They have the Walk for Mental Health coming up October 8th in Honolulu. We're going to learn a lot about the services they offer, how to support them with this walk, and we're doing so with the executive director of the organization. We welcome back now, Kumi McDonald. Aloha, Kumi. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. And first, before we get into the walk, let's explain who you guys are and how you guys work to help out folks locally.
Yes, we're a part of a large national organization called National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are called NAMI Hawaii, and we provide support, education, advocacy, and awareness regarding mental health. Especially, we work with families who care for those with serious mental illnesses and mental health conditions, and we educate them, provide support groups. We offer free online and telephone support as well. And I answer every single phone call, every single email, and we make sure that the whole island, the entire island, all of the islands in Hawaii are serviced.
So right from that, I learned that it is a statewide organization.
It is.
And as Kumi mentioned, part of a much larger national organization working to assist those with mental health issues and supporting those with mental illness. But most importantly, too, the caregivers is a huge aspect of this. And I learned that as well in our previous experience having you on. How do you guys get your funding?
Most of our funding is through this charity walk. And so it's twofold. It's about awareness, getting people out there and saying, hey, I want to walk because of my family or loved ones or because I support the youth. But it's also for fundraising. Much needed funds goes towards free programs. Every one of our programs are free to everyone. And we also do get some funding from small grants and private donations. But majority of our yearly sponsorship and fundraising is with this charity walk.
That's great. And do folks come from from other islands to participate?
Absolutely. They come from all over, some international people, some mainlanders, mostly to come and support loved ones who are here making a difference for mental health.
That's great. And some of those programs that are supported through the generosity of people who do the walk, and we'll explore ways that people can harness the walk with their friends, family, to try and engage more people to be part of it, do your own sort of sharing of the information via social media and other ways that you can kind of support it. But the end result is it raises funds and awareness for several programs. Some of them include family-to-family education.
Yes.
Can you talk about that one?
So family-to-family education is a 12-week comprehensive course for family members or loved ones or partners of people who are living with mental illness. And it's a support system because they come in oftentimes or call and say, I'm overwhelmed. My son was diagnosed. I don't know what to do, or my daughter attempted suicide. I don't know what to do. So we provide this class to teach family members and loved ones how to take action steps, how to understand them, how to communicate with these people who are struggling with mental illness, sometimes unaware that they have an illness or they're in depression or in having anxiety attacks. So we help them to communicate, how to set up an action plan, how to strategize for the future, how to talk to your doctor, how to talk to a social worker. Mm. We go through every step. And oftentimes during the class, maybe they're in a safe or kind of a peaceful time. But what happens is the crisis may come back again sometime in the future, which often does, and they're prepared.
So this is caregivers who are coming to this.
Caregivers and family members and loved ones.
And is it, and we're going to hear about many of the other programs too, but just it made me think, a lot of the services that you offer geared around the caregivers rather than the patients themselves.
The class is only open to the caregivers. So it's for the people who are, you know, loving upon or caring for or have a best friend who has a mental illness.
That's great. And that's a good way to put it, too, because it can be for any number of people who, you know, loved ones is a great way to describe it, because it could go well beyond family.
Correct.
Could even be employers who really care about an employee.
Absolutely. So, it has to be someone directly in a very close relationship, because that's how we address the class.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Family support groups that you offer, are there a variety of different ones? Can you speak to that?
So family support groups meet all around the island. We also have support groups and family classes on Maui, Kauai, and the Big Island as well. But Oahu has most of the classes and support groups. But these support groups meet around the island. They meet in a safe, confidential environment where families come and share their, personal experiences. And there's no judgment. There's no giving advice and saying you should do this or do that. It's just a time where people come and feel supported in a safe environment. And families do share like strategies that have worked for them. So some family members are stuck. What do I do? My son is in and out of the system. They meet up with other families and they share and they talk.
And as an organization, I'm imagining that you guys can add your expertise to that from the national perspective, meaning there's so many of these groups happening all over the country that you're able to get some tangible solutions that have actually worked in other families' cases.
So what happens is oftentimes these family support groups become feeder groups for all of our other programs, such as, we have our conferences, we have awareness events, we have our walk, we have our family-to-family classes, and then they get involved. Many of these people who started off in the support group eventually become support group leaders themselves or teachers themselves. And then they get very involved. Some board members have come out of this. So it becomes a place where we can build a community together.
Right, and end up drawing leaders from these groups. It makes sense. In Our Own Voice, Hearts and Minds, those are two programs I saw at the website.
Yes, so In Our Own Voice is our, we have an equivalent to that called the Speakers Bureau. And what that Speakers Bureau, it kind of expands a little bit more, but In Our Own Voice really is a program that people living with mental illness and have gone through the journey of recovery go out and share and say, this is what my experience was. Mm-hmm. And they do presentations oftentimes for the police or the, doctors and nurses, universities, all of these agencies that are looking for what is it like for someone living with mental illness? How do they see the world? How did they feel when the police came and tried to arrest them? So they have their stories to share. But we locally have a speakers bureau. So within our speakers bureau, we do have people who are living in recovery, who share their stories. But we also have professionals. We also have family members' perspectives. So we provide free speeches. If you ask us to come and present in a classroom, we've gone from small things like Girl Scouts. Hmm. We've gone all the way up to universities. We've done talked to mental health professionals even. And we have people that can come and speak for free.
So all of these services are at no cost.
Yes.
And that is defrayed, of course, because of the walk that's coming up. Right before we get to that, something that makes me when I think about a connection between mental health issues and certain segments of the population, right now, the state of Hawaii has become extremely well known in the United States and to an international audience as the home of the single worst homelessness crisis anywhere in the most powerful country on earth.
Yes.
So around the world, America is seen as a very unusual entity, and we really are, because we're made up of so many people from around the world. We're a real conglomerate, if you will, of international stuff. And so when you think of when people who are not Americans think of the U.S., we're sort of this giant entity. Mm-hmm. Not to say we're better than other people, but we're this big thing, America. And then when you think about problems that are in America, one of those issues that gets a lot of attention is homelessness. Yes. And here, oddly enough, in the Aloha State, we have the most severe we have the most severe crisis epidemic per capita. A lot of connection between mental illness and homelessness.
Correct. So many times, and we've seen this, we've seen these people who are homeless that often are babbling to themselves, or you can obviously tell that they are not in their right mind and they're just struggling. And we, you know, and oftentimes family members will call us, many, many families will call us and say, my son just moved to Hawaii. He's homeless. He has a mental illness. What do I do? How do we help? So what NAMI does is that we work with the families to prevent homelessness in many ways by educating them. If we can teach family members how to communicate with their loved ones before they get to that point where they've run away, before they've gotten to the point where they are running away from medication and from doctors. If we can help these families intervene before that happens, that prevents a lot of that. And oftentimes we do work with families who are already beyond that stage.
Right.
Again, teaching them the value of communication, how to work with doctors, how to work through certain systems and navigate. We are an imperfect state regarding mental health. We have a lot to do here, and NAMI also advocates. So we are trying to change some of the laws and policies and things like that. But it's a journey. It's a long journey. But our goal is to work with families and give them that love, support, get them to connect with their loved ones.
And that advocacy is, excuse me, and that advocacy is not so much individual advocacy for a situation a person's in, but more advocacy on behalf of those with mental illness for legislation.
Correct, correct. So our advocacy is more on the legislative, and we work with senators and we work with policymakers, and we're really starting to build that up here.
And also back to something you said, it's not just folks from the mainland whose relative ends up here and in crisis. There is a huge portion of our homeless population, which is homegrown, local,
yes,
born and raised here. And so you're dealing with their family members as well.
Correct. So oftentimes we do encourage them to meet up with the other families who have similar situations in these support groups or come to family to family. Sometimes they come down and we make an appointment, we meet with them and these family members and try to strategize, because it's very complicated. It's a complicated issue. We're playing one part in just caring and educating and supporting.
And adding to what you say, when you talk about the complexity, mental illness isn't a one-size-fits-all thing. It's a broad way of defining many, many, many conditions.
Correct.
So each person is not only an individual who has their own reaction to the condition that they have and their own set of circumstances, but there are many different mental illnesses that you're trying to provide assistance with.
Absolutely. Very complex.
The walk. Let's turn our attention to this thing that is funding many of the programs that we just talked about. It's October 8th in Honolulu. It's is this one Honolulu Hale?
It is, right on the grassy field, right next to Honolulu Hale, where they have the big Santa Claus with the big Christmas tree. It's not at Christmas. It's on October 8th. Save the date, October 8th, and we're going to have a great time, rain or shine.
The hours of this?
Check-in is at 8 a.m. We're going to officially start the walk at 9. We're going to have morning stretches and exercise, get us going. We're going to have a fun walk. It's 5K, which is just about 3 miles, but we're going to do 1.5 miles twice. So there's no excuse for people who say, I can't walk 3 miles. You can do it once. You can cut through the grass if you can't even do 1.5. Or you could be a virtual walker.
And explain that.
The virtual walker will say, I'm representing. I'm going to represent my family or my community. They may not be able to walk, but they can send information out. They can raise funds. They can put it out on Facebook, on their Twitter, and get the word out there.
That is that's a really important thing, because my mom was disabled. She was quadriplegic. Mm-hmm. She was in a wheelchair. She would not have been able to do the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even that day wouldn't have felt good enough to go down there.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're talking about is those people like my mom, or mm-hmm. people in a similar circumstance,
yes.
And God bless her, she would have wanted to do. And so it's what you're saying is those people can make a pledge, make a contribution, take a piece of this this courageous fight themselves without being there, just by helping to spread the word,
Absolutely.
Getting other people involved, posting it on social media,
yes.
people making donations and support. So supporting the walk does not necessarily mean coming and doing it. Obviously, it's a great thing if you can.
It's a lot of fun, and it's a great event. But if you can't, it could be as simple as registering, spending a couple of minutes registering online. Click, 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 and you're done. You can just, there's a link to share it on social media. People who don't have social media, you can do old school. You can email it. You can print it out and mail it manually.
You can even call someone.
You can call someone.
Remember
That's
that?
Right. Yes.
It's amazing how the world has changed, huh?
And we have some, we also partner with a lot of local agencies who represent the community living in recovery, like the clubhouses. Sometimes these people go door to door, collect coins. It's not just about the money. It's about getting the awareness.
Right. And that's twofold. And that's so when we think about other ways to help this thing out, there are opportunities for companies who
yes.
want to be supportive of this. They can make a pledge themselves to be involved. They can rally employees to do it. It could be a team effort.
Yes, absolutely.
There are all of these ways for people to have the walk become something that they do as a group.
Absolutely. So you can be a team captain and get your coworkers to do it. It's a fun event. You can wear your company shirts. You can get news coverage. You can go and say, hey, we are this business and we're here to represent. And, you know, 1 in 5 people in Hawaii struggle with a mental health situation. That's your coworker. That's your family. That's that person in school with you. So every group can represent.
That's 250,000 people in the state are affected by some sort of mental health issue.
Correct.
And that is an accurate number.
That is an accurate number.
That's huge. It's 250,000 people.
At least. At least.
Right. 1 in 5. Right. At least that many. And you can also do it in memory of someone that you
Absolutely.
Love.
Absolutely. Many people come and represent people who they've lost to this illness, or people who have just, you know, gone on, and they wear their shirts and they have their, you know, family, loved ones, names, or
right.
It's a beautiful and fun event. But it's not just sorrowful. It's a lot of fun,
sure,
a lot of energy.
But those things are powerful to do. They may be some of those situations, like putting a loved one's name on a shirt or something. It may seem like it's a touching and somber sort of thing on one note, but I mean, that's also a powerful release for people.
Absolutely.
And it's important that you have something like that, because people need to be able to do that. So what you're saying is people can come to this with a lot of different emotions and feelings, and there's room for everybody on that.
Absolutely. So we have high schoolers, we've got toddlers, we have senior citizen groups, we have every group imaginable representing at this walk, and it's also a fun family reunion oftentimes.
Right.
So they come from other islands and they travel for that season and they get together and do it together.
Well, those are two great things that you just said, that it's one, it's a camaraderie building thing for whomever
yes.
is there, but it's also very all ages in terms of everybody who can participate, and you can kind of make it your own walk because
yes.
of the way that you're approaching it.
Absolutely.
When we talk about things that you might be able to, I mean, undoubtedly, when you put on a production like this and you're doing something that's really important in the community, there must be some tangible supplies or volunteer needs that you may have as an organization. And I don't mean to limit it to the walk, because obviously you can take it beyond that. But in terms of ways that people can support the walk by, if you need, sometimes people need tents, they need
yes.
tables, chairs, different sorts of the food, whatever it is. And many people in the community who may be able to supply those things, may be able to defray some of your cost. Can you talk about particular needs that you might have, or suggestions of ways that people could donate items for the walk or in general for your office?
we would really appreciate any type of donation, any sponsorship in any amount, even prizes. If you're a small business owner and they have just one of my hairdresser gave a gift certificate for a free haircut, that could be a prize. And we're going to be giving away prizes. So any in-kind donation is very, very appreciated. And you get a little publicity as well. And then also volunteering. We need a lot of hands to set up. Early in the morning, it's cleanup. And some people say, I can't lift things. Well, can you pass a water bottle? Can you, help and wave and, well, greet people? So there's so many other ways that they can come and volunteer for that day.
And I loved your example about the hairdresser. Mm-hmm. So it means just about anybody who has a business that people are purchasing things from, you could make a gift certificate available and then donate it to you guys.
Absolutely. And we appreciate every donation.
I know that. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful thing to help out those in need. It's sometimes nothing can make up for the loss that people suffer in life, but there is something that you just feel that you know is right when you try to do good for someone in need. There is no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. NamiHawaii.org is the organization website. NamiHawaii.org is the organization website. And when you're there, you can learn about some of the programs that we talked about today, plus some of the other programs. And remember, there is no fee for the services that they offer for those in need. And the way that they're able to accomplish that is through the generosity of people for walks like this one coming up on October 8th. Thinking about the walk, namiwalks.org/Hawaii is where you would register for the walk. You can get in touch with them via email, info@namihawaii.org. You can give them a call at 591-1297. Lucky enough, we have all of the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our Helping Hand guests can be heard on demand online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where Helping Hand lives online. What are things that we didn't get in there that you would like to mention today?
Well, we have wonderful young people coming in to do performance. We have two up-and-coming artists, Elvis Imamura, who is a musical genius with the electric guitar and keyboard, and we have Celine Carr, who is an up-and-coming genius with her voice, will be coming to do performances. We'll have lots of prizes. We'll have fun activities for the kids. So we welcome families come and see our wellness tent. We'll have Ask the Therapists come and give you 5-minute counseling for free. So there's going to be a lot of fun events and happenings on that day. So please join us.
Other performers who wanted to volunteer to perform for you, they'd be welcome. You'd like to hear from them too?
Absolutely. Please email me at info@namihawaii.org.
That's really cool. So there's a way, just kind of like the hairdresser gift certificate. It's really open to a lot
Absolutely.
Of people. You've made this something that is extremely accessible to many folks. It is NAMI Hawaii, National Alliance on Mental Illness Hawaii, the Walk for Mental Health. It's coming up. Save the date. It is October 8th in Honolulu. It has been a privilege to have back on Helping Hand Executive Director Kumi McDonald joined us here today in the studio. Kumi, on behalf of all the folks that you're helping out, all their family members, all their loved ones, thank you very much for what
you're
doing.
Thank you very much, Dave. Thank you.